That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. We're facing issues today that I believe should be pertinent in our understanding and embracing the truths thereof, and that which we'll be talking about. We're calling today's broadcast, our issue today, a call for hope. Psalms 42:5 says, "Hope thou in the Lord." I believe our hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, as the old song goes. But ladies and gentlemen, we're facing a storm today across all of the state of Florida. It's a hurricane. Just 2 weeks ago, we faced a hurricane up and down the western seaboard, western coastline of the state of Florida, and then all up through Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, etc. And we're still recuperating from the devastation of the previous hurricane. Now we're faced with one that's rapidly coming on board for the state of Florida and will decimate much of Central and South Florida. So we need to think about the conditions that we're faced with today. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the official reports, over a million people, I think it's something like a million and a quarter, million and a half people in the state of Florida have already evacuated, headed for higher ground, headed for safety. We're going to talk about the hurricane. We'll talk about what is taking place in Florida. We're going to talk about some of the conditions still as a residuum of the conditions found in North Carolina and Tennessee and what the government has and has not done. But the focus we're going to have today is thinking about how should we respond? What should we do? What should be the conservatives' viewpoint? How should the Christians respond? What should we do in relationship to that? Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, I think we need to recognize the hand of God's at work. We need to recognize that God's trying to get America's attention. We've turned our backs on God. We've banned the Bible. We've basically ousted God from our personal lives and the political lives in our nation. And now God is saying, in my opinion, and I'd love to hear from you what your thoughts are. I believe God is saying, listen up, look up, I'm still in control. It's not Mother Nature, it's Father God. It's not climate control, it's God control. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe God is saying that very thing. So as we face the issues today, let me remind you, we do so through a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview. And that's what we're doing. That means taking the events of today, politically, socially, economically, militarily, every aspect of it, theologically, doctrinally. We look at all that's happening in our nation and around the globe, and we view it through the prism of the Word of God. It is God's Word that is the inspired, infallible, inerrant truth book, if you will. I've spoken on this many, many times down through the years. And I believe we need to recognize the Word of God is the final authority. In fact, in John 8:31-32, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, God's Word gives us a declaratory statement about His Word. John 17:17 says, "Thy Word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible declares the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now I realize that I'm speaking to an audience today that, for the most part, believes in truth. But ladies and gentlemen, in our society in general, we find that truth is abrogated, truth is rejected, truth is revealed in what we say, but what others challenge or deny. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made a profound statement. Even as a secularist, Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be factual, truthful, if I can use that term, in that statement. But ladies and gentlemen, what causes such a diminished element, a diminished aspect and view of truth? I believe it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline about his statement says this: DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And in his opening statements about that, he says this: "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." End quote. And ladies and gentlemen, when I read statistical data that says even in the upcoming election, a major majority, and we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, a major number, a statistical number that is just thought-blowing, if you want to call it that, mind-boggling, that says that the majority, a large number of Christians do not plan to vote in the next few days, November the 5th. I'm concerned about that. It's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ, the Christian, that should be the salt and light in our society. Truth matters regardless of your thoughts and your position on party affiliations, Democrat or Republican. You've heard me say 1,000 times, and I'll say it again at the risk of redundancy. It's an impossibility to say I'm a Christian and I'm a vote Democrat. It's an oxymoron. That means two irreconcilable truths. It's an impossibility. Ladies and gentlemen, you might say I'm a Democrat, but you can't say I'm a Democrat and a Christian. You can't say I'm a Christian and a Democrat if the Democrats believe in murder by way of abortion. They believe in chopping off healthy body parts to try to transition a gender. It's slapping God in the face, spitting in the face of God, denying the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we get to the centrality of truth. But yet the latest survey says that 55% of Americans, younger Americans, the millennials, headline says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article reads this way: because 55% of Americans, 18 to 39 year, 35 year old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. If you try to bifurcate truth, you have a lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. That we seek the truth, listen, learn, love, tell, live, and defend the truth in our lives. I believe that is applicable for each of us today, and that's my challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tunes for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? What identifies it? There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, you're invited to pick up the telephone and dial 904-831-0917. 904-831-0937. 0917. Get my tongue twisted. 904-831-0917. That's the telephone number. Your call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a very serious storm. But I think it, listen, God created the whole world. God created everything in it. In fact, Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18 talks about what all is visible and invisible in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And all that was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the controller, the sustainer of all of the world. Listen, I've said many times down through the years, less than 100 years now, that Jesus Christ is the super glue that holds it all together. According to Colossians 1, verses 13 through 18, verses 16, 17, and 18 in particular. If he's the super glue that holds it all together, and he does, and if he is the creator and controller of all of this old world, and he is, ladies and gentlemen, he controls the weather. He controls the wind and the rain. And I've got several biblical texts I'm going to look at during the course of the broadcast today to validate what I'm saying. That he controls the wind and the rain. The Lord Jesus Christ controls the weather. It's not the government, ladies and gentlemen. There are a lot of folks today that think that somehow, some way, the government controls the weather. They call it weather, climate control, climate change. They call it something in a various number of terms, trying to make us think that somehow, some way, it's a man-made condition. Listen, since the beginning of time, Genesis 8:22 tells us with that in the question, from the beginning of time to the end of time, God is going to control the seasons. We'll have the seasons coming and going on a regular basis. God controls it. That's the reason God's word says that. And although we can be concerned over the fact that our government has been trying for decades to play God and control the weather, they have been. I've got a sheaf of articles that validate that date, time, place, and events where the government's been trying to, quote, seed the clouds and control the weather, stop the weather, direct, redirect the storms, et cetera, et cetera. And you asked the question, had one asked the question on the broadcast yesterday, do I believe that that's taking place? Absolutely, unequivocally. Whether these present hurricanes are the result of that, only God knows. But the answer to the question is, do I believe that the government's trying to interfere with the hand of God? Do I believe that the government's trying to control what the weather rather than God? Absolutely, unequivocally, I believe that they're guilty, ladies and gentlemen, of that. But listen, regardless of what the hurricanes do, they're going to come ashore. They're going to do the work and carry out the task that God allows them to do. Nothing more and nothing less. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that as the hurricanes come ashore in the state of Florida, remember, our hope is not in man, but in the master of the winds and the waves. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'm looking at a headline that I believe needs to be reverberated across the waves, radio waves, and has already been resoundingly verbalized by our governor, which, by the way, I want to commend him publicly. I think he's done a stalwart job in getting things staged and set up and ready for the storm. He's gone through it enough times. He knows how to and what to do, and yet cackling Kamala Harris claimed that he had not returned her call, only to find out, according to the governor DeSantis, she's not even called. Why is she all of a sudden concerned about Governor DeSantis? It's a fictitious, phony, fallacious act of concern for we the people. She has no concern whatsoever. I could go on and on, but that's not the point of today's broadcast. Looking at the headline, officials give stark warning to Florida residents who refuse to evacuate. Write your name on your bodies. Listen to this scary article. Well, I'll use this to set the pace on where we're going and why we need to trust in God and not in government in relationship to our safety and our well-being. This article says Florida officials are not mincing words ahead of Hurricane Milton. The Category 5 storm that is predicted to make landfall near Tampa Bay on Wednesday is to come in, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes late tonight. Actually, the eye of the storm come on shore. And they've warned residents who refuse mandatory evacuation orders to take steps to make sure their bodies can be identified and if the worst should happen. A number of counties have imposed mandatory evacuation orders, and Governor Ron DeSantis has already declared a state of emergency for 51 counties throughout the state, many of which are still reeling from the impact of Hurricane Helene less than 2 weeks earlier. Still, there are always some residents who either can't or won't leave their homes, and officials like Attorney General Ashley Moody have warned those remaining behind. Listen to what Ashley Moody, Florida Attorney General, has said. She's saying to those that remain behind that they could die in the storm, and therefore to write their names, phone numbers, or relatives' names on their bodies in permanent marker to aid in identification. You probably need to write your name in permanent marker on your arm so that people know who you are when your body is found. Quote, "If you remain here, you could die," Hillsborough County Fire Chief Jason Daughtry said at another press conference. "My men and women could die trying to rescue you." The article closes with these statements. "There's nothing short of astronomical," meteorologist Noah Bergen posted. "I am at a loss for words to the meteorologically described to describe to you the storm, small I, and the intensity of it. 897 millibars and the pressure, 180 miles an hour max sustained wind, and gust up to 200 miles an hour. This is now the fourth largest hurricane ever recorded by pressure on this side of the world." Ladies and gentlemen, danger looms ahead for the state of Florida. I'm thankful that about 1.5 million people have already fled, already evacuated, headed for higher ground for the safety. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about the fact that so many are petrified, frightened, concerned. Listen, a weather front like this is enough to scare anybody. It's enough to cause frightening heartbeats and the sense of what is happening. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, it talks about these things. It talks about there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexities of the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming to the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's the, ladies and gentlemen, the warning in the eschatologically prophetic text in Luke 21. By the way, Luke 21, Mark 13, and Matthew 24 are the prophetic text in the parallel Gospels. And it talks about the fact that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Let me put it that way. For fear of what they see coming. People are frightened today. People see the calamity that's left behind in the six states where Hurricane Helene just went through. Just about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago now. They see that. We understand what the dangers are. By the way, we're going to talk about some of the aftermath and the residuum of what's left in North Carolina, Tennessee in particular, in relationship to the aftermath, what FEMA has and has not done, where we stand with that. By the way, that telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Are you in an area where you need to evacuate? Have you evacuated? What is your position today? What is your condition today? Are you frightened? Are you afraid? What should be done? How should we respond? Should we have hope in God, or should we be hoping in Kamala or Joe Biden? Should our hope be in man? Should our hope be in government? Or should our hope and trust and confidence be in God, since He is the creator, controller, and the sustainer of this old world? May I say that I believe our hope and trust ought to be in Him. I'm looking at another headline, ladies and gentlemen. Headline says, Floridians scurry to prepare for a second hurricane to hit in 2 weeks. Residents brace for Hurricane Milton's expected landfall near Tampa as a Category 3 storm before blazing a projected path across the state along I-4. With Hurricane Milton barreling toward a projected Tampa Bay area landfall, the first in a century, residents in coastal evacuation zones still inundated by Hurricane Helene's sideswiped were being urged to flee. Residents inland along Milton's forecast track, tracing I-4 from Lakeland through Orlando onto Daytona Beach, where hustling and bunkering down in advance of the wind expected to reach 110 miles an hour. The storm is expected to claw ashore like a raging banshee, unlike any in the region since Hurricane Charley in 2004. It's been very taxing on our citizens to have to go through this. Just as you're starting to pick up the pieces from Helene, now you see another monster storm barreling down, said Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He said then, but we will get through it. Let me read a couple of other articles, or not articles, but brief paragraphs in this massive article that I believe we should grasp. More than 8,000 Florida National Guardsmen, the entire state police force, municipal search and rescue teams, and others are assembling ready to be dispatched to meet Milton when it comes. 40,000 linemen are already staged en route from as far away as California to help restore power after the storm. All that we will be there will be ready to go, DeSantis says. Some are determined to stay, this article reads. As always, some won't leave their homes. South Tampa residents Daryl and Mary Davis told the Epoch Times they plan to evacuate Tuesday after deciding to stay put during Hurricane Helene. In other words, the article goes on to read their experience with staying put for Helene, and therefore they decided for Milton, they're going to leave the state of Florida. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is your position? What are your thoughts? Do you believe that government's involved in weather, this weather condition, climate change, the need? Do we have a need somehow, some way, for the government to control the weather, or is God sufficient to do that? What are your thoughts on that? Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about what is taking place, we need to place our hope and trust in God even in the midst of the storm. Perhaps you've heard the story. I've watched the television interview of two sisters. The two sisters, probably in their mid-40s, their mother and dad both were lost in North Carolina flood during Hurricane Helene. One of them had a 7-year-old son. Hanging on for dear life, the three of them. And the mother tells the harrowing story of the 7-year-old son. He was not screaming for help from a fireman or a rescueman, but he kept saying, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me." Those were his last words as the floods took him away and he lost his human life in the flood. "Jesus, save me." And I believe that's the approach we need to recognize when I talk about today the call for hope. Psalms 42, verse 5 says, "Hope thou in the Lord." Our hope needs to be in the Lord during these days. Our hope needs to be in the Lord on all occasions. But may I say, especially when it comes to the potential calamity, the potential devastation, the potential danger, and perhaps the loss of life, our hope needs to be in nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot calculate. Words are not sufficient to talk about the damage, the human tragedies, the great misery, the sorrow, and much sadness that's already taken place in six states. Just consider the agony, ongoing agony, and anguish that's left behind by those in the previous storm, North Carolina, Tennessee, and parts of Georgia and Florida. We still have people with no homes, no water, no help, no hot meals, rapidly running out of hope today as a result of what has taken place, especially up in North Carolina. I'll touch on that during the course of this broadcast. Do you believe that FEMA has done all that could be done? Do you believe that FEMA has actually exercised its ability in the state of North Carolina, Tennessee in particular? If not, why not? What are your thoughts? Why is it that FEMA, even today, at this very moment, there's a very, very, very lackluster evidence of FEMA in the state of North Carolina and Tennessee? Why is it? Why is it that we find so little governmental help, especially in those two states, Tennessee and North Carolina? What's the goal? What's the ambition? What's the aim? I believe there's a goal. I believe there's a focal point. I believe there's an aim, and they're simply ignoring the residents of North Carolina and Tennessee. I believe there's a motive behind it. I believe there is a problem that must eventually be dealt with. We're going to talk about that during the course of the broadcast today. But I want us to remember, ladies and gentlemen, what the focus ought to be. That focus ought to be not on the storm, but on the master of the storm. Now, I've read this before on the broadcast, but I want to touch on it, not try to exegete it verse by verse, but simply touch on it. I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And the same day when the evening was come, that is afternoon, dark time almost, he, that is Jesus, said unto them, that is his disciples, let us pass over into the other side, onto the other side. And when he had sent away the multitudes, they took him, that is Jesus, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. Listen, they've gotten in the ship. Jesus brought them in the ship, said, let's go to the other side. They're on the Sea of Galilee, about halfway across the ship, the winds and the waves come. They're in the midst of a storm. They can't turn back. They can't go one way or the other, if you please. And he said, that's Jesus. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ladies and gentlemen, could it be that God is wanting to teach us to depend on him? In this illustration and the biblical account in Mark 4, they were in the midst of the sea. They were in a storm. They thought they were going to die. Jesus is on board. And as long as Jesus is on board, we're safe, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Hello?
Dr. Youngblood?
Yes.
Youngblood? Yeah, hi.
Yes.
My name's Angela, and I'm calling from St. Augustine. First, I just wanted to say I love your show, and you're very informative, and I thank you for your voice out here and when you can't get much on real news. Anyway, I wanted to say, I'm in St. Augustine, but I was going on, I'm listening, trying to listen to the news and all that, and I've been hearing so many stories that FEMA hasn't gotten anything and that there's people out there and they're begging for people to come out with motorcycles or anything that can get through up in North Carolina and Tennessee, because no cars can get through to these people, that their bodies all over the place in the water, and kids are walking around looking for their parents, and just such, and all the stories are saying, don't believe the news, we need you up here, please, if you can come up here, and they're all crying, and I've just heard one after the other. Now, I don't think people are going to get on and make this up. I mean, I don't know. I want to see what you thought about all this, because it shakes my heart to the core. I can't believe it. And she's like, I couldn't believe this would happen in America. But
Angela, you're exactly right. Let me ask you to do something, Angela. We're unfortunately at the top of the hour for the news break. If you don't mind, hang on. Don't hang up. Right after the news, we'll come back and continue this conversation. I believe it's worth listening to and commenting on. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida, To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folks.